appreciate that song because that's a good request. First of all, I'm going to go to the Lord and ask Him, I want You to cleanse me from some things. I want You to keep me from evils that would surround me or overtake me. But that's not the end of my prayer. Lord, once You have cleaned all these things out, and once You've delivered me from them, Lord, I want You to fill this place with Yourself. It made me think of the story when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man. That spirit walks around looking for a place to dwell, and he comes back and he checks it again. I think about this song that we just heard. When some things have been purged out of my life, you know, I need to put that last verse of that song as a desire of mine. Lord, I want You to fill those places that those unclean things have been taken from. Because what did it say? That spirit went around and it said, I'm going to come back and check again to see what has happened to this one that has been cleaned up. It said it found him empty, swept and garnished. And he moved back in again. And you know, it said the last state of that man was worse than the first. So that last verse of that song is going to be so valuable in my life. Lord, I want You to keep me from some things. I want You to show me myself and help me to be delivered from myself. But when I have been, Lord, fill me with Yourself. That's my desire. I have a message I'd like to share with you. Today, if I could put a title to it, it would be Choose You This Day. And when I look at that, I'm talking about not just on the day I got saved, but every day of my life, choosing Him. And what is the thing that helps me the most in the choices that I make? I believe it is for me to be able to see God's love for me. There is a song, I'd like for us to sing a verse of it together. This person, when they wrote the song, they got a picture of God's love. And this is what they said. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor would the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong, it shall forevermore endure the saints and angels' song. Today, when we look at the love of God, we look at John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. But what I want us to do for a little bit is go back in time. Adam and Eve didn't know anything about Jesus dying on the cross. But you know what? God still was able to show them His love. How did He do it? We see it expressed in the first chapter of Genesis. And God said, let there be. And you know what I think in creation? He said, I want to show these people that I'm about to create how much I love them. Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, fruit tree yielding fruit after its kind. If you go into Walmart and you walk down the fruit aisle and you look at all of the vivid colors of fruit, God didn't have to do that. I've thought of this before. God could have said, okay, these people are going to have some kind of nutrition to live on. But you know what? They don't have to have all that I was going to give them. They don't have to have the beauties that we see in the springtime. It can look like the moon. And there can be, I feed my cows sometimes, a little cattle cube. It's enough to keep them alive. Just a little old square block of green. You know what? God could have done that for mankind. Just say, here's a bunch of cubes out here. You eat that and you'll live. But he didn't do it. You know what? He showed his love to Adam and Eve by providing them with a garden. And he also, when he put the sun and the moon and those things in place, and when I go out at night and I look at them, you know what? I think what he wanted me to do was to realize, wow, he put all this in place to tell me he loves me. I see it in a verse over here in Psalms, the 8th chapter, the 3rd verse. Because, you know, we can get to where we take for granted a lot of things that we see around us that should tell me about God's love for me. This verse in the 8 and 3 of Psalms, when I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him? And the son of man that thou visitest him. So I look at, there's another song that we sing. Oh, look at the universe which he has made. See the twinkling worlds on high. Alone on his fiat are these mighty planets stayed. Then we know he can never lie. Oh, trust in God. Trust in the love of God, a faithful God. Then we look over here in Genesis. He's made all these things, but there's no one to enjoy them. So then he finishes it up. Genesis 1 and 26, God said, let us make man in our image and in our likeness. It says, God created man in the 27th verse in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. What was the image of God that he created man in? Was it facial features? Not at all. I think what it was he said, you know what, I'd like to make man, and I'd like to put in him some of the attributes that I have. What do we see? One of the shortest verses, God is love, that we teach our children when they're little. And what he wanted to do was be able to put in man, for man to be able to recognize the love that God had for him, and for man to be able to have that love go out of him to others around him. The ability to love was, I believe, what God wanted to show to Adam and Eve. In his creation, in the springtime when I see a flower, do we just walk by it and it does not do anything for me? You know, when I see the detail of flowers, it is amazing to me. You know what it should spark in my mind? Oh, look at the love of God that he has extended to us. The trees. I have in my yard a Bradford pear tree, and it has never borne a pear. It was never intended to. What it was for was just for beauty. You know, God created some trees that were just pleasant to the eye because he loved us, because he loved two people that he was going to put in a garden. The beauties of nature, I think it was intended for us to be able to see how much he loved us. And then here comes a commandment over in Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 6. And 4 through 5. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. Here's a commandment. I want you to love the Lord your God with all of your heart. By force? Did he say, I'm going to force you, I'm going to make you love me? By force or by love? I remember reading it even, brought it up again and looked at it. Aesop's fable. There was, it said, had a little story. The North Wind and the Sun, little contest, which one could make this traveler take his coat off? And the North Wind says, I'll start first. But the harder it blew and the colder it blew, he just pulled his jacket tighter around him till the wind gives up. Then the Sun says, it's my turn. And it does nothing but just shines and shines. And it gets warmer and warmer till the guy just, I'm getting rid of this coat. You know what? That's what the love of God does. It doesn't come down and hammer us and say, I'm going to make you do something. What's our lesson about? We're going to make some choices in life. Choose you this day whom you'll serve. And what he wants to do is he wants to win us by his love. Just like when the sun came out and just the warmth from it caused him to want to take his coat off. You know, we sing a song sometime because we're living in another time than Adam and Eve did. Our song is, O Christ, I can but love thee. What heart could ever withhold a love that cost so dearly the offering of thy soul? We live in another time. But you know what? Adam and Eve lived in a time to where God still showed their love, his love to them. And he desired that their love would be shown back. Over in Jeremiah is a verse. Jeremiah 31. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I'm going to draw you. That's what he wants to do to all of us, is with loving kindness, he wants to draw us to himself. And then he wants our love to be given back to him again. I believe that's what he wanted from Adam and Eve. And you know how my love is best expressed back again? It's when there's a choice. If there was no choice, we're not able to show our love too much. I've only got this one thing that I can do. So God gave a choice. It says he planted in the second chapter. God did this. You know, this wasn't Satan that came. You remember when we talk about Job, it was Satan that said, I tell you what, give me a little bit of room and I'm going to cause some things to come into his life that he's going to curse you to your face. That's not what happened here in the second chapter of Genesis. It was God planted a garden. He's the one that allowed it to be. And he also put in the garden a tree that was pleasant to the eye. You know, both of those trees were pleasant to the eye. He didn't make it that, you know what, this forbidden fruit is going to look so ugly, you would never want to taste it anyhow. No, what he wants to do is give back then and also here. Here's what it is. But I want you to see the love that I have for you, and it's what helps you to be able to make a choice. And what does he tell him in 2 and 16? He's made this beautiful place for them, and he says, Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that you eat of it, you're going to die. A choice here. And what will help me make this choice? I need to see the love of God. You know, if they could have just seen the first part of this, if Eve could have said, every tree here I can freely eat. But you know what the devil wants to do is move us from what the love of God has allowed us to have to this one thing over here that he says, stay away from that. Can I see the love of God? We're living in a time where my pace is so fast. If I'm not careful, I'll pass up some of the simple things in life that tell me God loves you. A sunrise. You know, I can see it and just say, I'm on my way to work. I'm pretty busy this morning. But you know what? God's love is extended to us by the sunrises that we can see, the sunsets that we can see. We love him because he first loved us. And it's more than just because of Christ. Christ is the main one. But I want us to think today, he showed us his love in nature around us. Just wanted to let you know I love you. You know, the wintertime can be kind of, everything looks like it's dead. But springtime, when things start blossoming out again, gardens start being planted and growing, it should be a time that my heart just blooms with, thank you, Lord, for loving me. And help me, Lord, because I've got a choice that I'm going to make. I'm choosing every day. There is something else that they had, more than just flowers and fruit trees to eat of. We understand that they had communion with God. What would that have been like? We don't know for sure what all happened, because the only time it tells us about it is when he came down for his next visit and they weren't waiting for him. It tells me they expected, you know what, he's coming again. He's done it before. And I've thought of this. How many days, how many years had they had that communion with him and enjoyed it? You know what, I don't ever want to take for granted the times when the Lord will visit with me and come down and visit, because you know what, the devil would like to come along and just blur all that out. Let's just kind of put all this, we take it for granted. And now, let's make this thing to be the focus. In my mind, I can just see Adam and Eve at the time when they're pleasing the Lord. And he's coming down. I believe he was enjoying them to be able to say, Lord, I went over in this part of the garden today and I saw a fruit that I've never seen before. I just wanted to tell you. The colors were so vivid. And the taste was wonderful. Thank you, God, for everything you have provided for me. Has God changed? I believe today he still wants to take simple things in life to cause me to say, thank you, Lord, for your love to me. And now I see these things and I want my love to be increased back to you. All the burdens, once so heavy, light and easy seems to be, that's in the song. How does that happen? It's when my Savior talks to me. I need to value that time. You know, and sometimes when he visits me, what does it say? My son, don't despise the chastenings of the Lord. Have you had them? You had the Lord come to you and say, you know what? What you just said was not pleasing to me. You know what, I ought to be just as thankful for that as the times when he has shown me beauties of nature or just expressed his love to me, because it's valuable. I'm glad that God has not changed. You know, it says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He wants to show his love to us the same as he did to Adam and Eve in the simple things of life around us. We sang this song this morning. Shall I tell you why I ceased from folly? Why I turned away from sin? It was because the love of my Redeemer fully won my heart to him. You know, I could say, why am I living right? Well, I'm just scared of going to hell. No, this one is, I felt his love to me, and it caused me to want to make some changes, to have his approval stamped on my life. I was thinking of this. I've been married now for 46 years. You know, a marriage is held together by making right choices every day. And those right choices are not from a fear of being caught if I make the wrong choice. You know, I made a vow forsaking all others. And that's not done just from I'm going to do it because I'd be scared of getting caught. You know, it is so easy to do when love is the foundation. It is so easy for me to live for God when love is my foundation. And you know what? That love wasn't just, okay, I've got to do it myself. But no, He has shown me over and over and over His love to me. And I just let it respond back to Him. Relationship with Him. I think of Joseph. Why did he make the choices that he made? Was it that I'm just kind of scared that if I make this choice, somebody's going to find out and they're going to send word back to Dad? You know, Joseph was in a place where he probably realized, I'll probably never see a family member again in my life. He could make a choice whichever way he wanted to go. What was his choice? You know, I believe somewhere he felt God's love for him. And his love back in return was in making right choices in his life. What did he say when the opportunity came for him to make a choice and head the wrong direction? How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? He's built a relationship that is more important than just, well, I wonder who's looking. You know, we want to move past that when I'm responding with my love back to God. Because we can live in a place where there's no saints around, nobody would ever know. Joseph was in a place where no one would ever know that it really mattered to, and yet he made right choices in his life. There's something I want us to think about. We cannot stop a temptation that is presented. Joseph was not responsible for the temptation that was presented to him. What I do next is critical. When temptation came to Eve, you know what? There was probably nothing she could do about Satan coming with his temptation. But it's what she did next that was critical. You know, she had the right words to say. God hath said. You know, that's a good thing to have. But I have to wonder, was it in her head or in her heart? She had the right words. This is what he said. But you know what? When I have it down in my heart, thy word, O Lord, I've hid it in my heart that I might not sin against thee. That's different than just a verse that I learned in Sunday school years ago, and it's in my head. She had the verse clearly in her head, which also makes us realize God doesn't hold us responsible for something that we don't know. She knew. She was able to recite back to Satan what God has said. But you know what? She's got a choice that's going to come. We have the verse because Jesus has come now in Galatians 5 and 6. It says, in Jesus Christ, here's something that is real valuable. Faith which worketh by love. I was looking at the definition of faith. It's an assent of the mind to the truth declared by another, resting on his authority without the need for any other evidence. My belief, when a temptation is presented, needs to have this response. God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. Because what she did was she recited the right things back to Satan. In fact, she even added a little bit, maybe more than what we read in the scripture that he was requiring. She said, and he told us, don't touch it, lest you die. She had a knowledge of what needed to be done. But you know what? We're going to need it down in my heart every day. There had been communion in the evening times with God coming to him. What if Eve would have said, tell you what, Satan, God's going to be here this evening, and we're going to visit about this very thing you've just mentioned to me. Mm-hmm. You know, we need to value the times that God is willing to communion, yes, have communion with me, because it was so valuable to her. It would have been her salvation to have just said, I have welcomed the times of communion that God has come. He's come every evening, He'll be here in just a little while, and we're going to talk about this. There's a verse that says, because now this comes down to me. I'm not in the garden anymore. And yet temptations can come to all of us. You know, maybe none of us today are tempted with sin. I'm not. I don't have a desire to go out and do a sin. But you know, there are some things that Satan can tempt me with. And that can be attitudes. Because you know, attitudes come in so softly that I don't recognize it to be wrong. They start from something has been done to me, and this feeling starts coming up in me about what was wrong. You know, something I need to do that would be real valuable for me, because I live in a different time than Adam and Eve does. I have Jesus as an example. So I can go back to the scripture and see, how did he handle it when things came against him? You know what? He taught us some lessons that's real valuable because he loves us. And it was when Peter said, how oft should I forgive somebody that has done me wrong? 7 times in a day, that's a lot of times to forgive somebody. And Jesus said, no, 70 times 7. In other words, you need to have a forgiving heart if you want to have success. Because Eve had her problems, you know what? We can have our problems. Satan knows what to use on each one of us. He knows he's wasting his time to draw us out in the world as the world goes today. But you know what? He's got a plan. And there's a secret for me. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord has a desire to lift up a standard against him. And there is a way for that to happen. And it's what I use my mind, the time that my mind is working, what I do with it. I'm not sure who wrote Psalms 119. Some say maybe David wrote at least some of it. I'm not sure who wrote Psalms 119 and 11 that said, thy word, O Lord, I've hid it down in my heart that I might not sin against thee. What's the value of that? I think these two verses are hooked together in choices that I'm making in my life. Because I have hid God's word in my heart, when a temptation to have an attitude comes up, the Spirit of the Lord can lift up a standard against him with what? The word of God that I've stored in my heart. You know, sometimes the devil would like to say, you've just been tempted. There's something wrong with your experience. You know what helps me? Jesus was tempted by Satan, and he recognized where the temptation was coming from. And when Satan said, if you be the Son of God, you do this, did Jesus have to say, you know what, somewhere in the Word of God, there's probably a verse to come against that. I'm going to go study, and I'll see you next week with an answer. Uh-uh. He had been hiding God's Word in his heart. And we say, well, yeah, he was Jesus. But no, I think what he had is available to all of us to store the Word of God in your heart. It may seem like I don't need it this week. I may need it next week. And I'm kind of thinking of this verse when the enemy comes in like a flood. He's going to do it to every one of us. If you don't think so, next time somebody does you wrong, see how quick I forgive them. Or how long the thought wants to come to me about how wrong I have been. And we'll be able to see something. The Lord wants to be able to take my own ammunition and be able to fight the devil for me. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord would like to pick up a verse and quickly remind me that God can help me through this time. What would it have been for Eve if she would have been able to do that? I've got his word stored. It's in my head, though, and it's not in my heart. In fact, I've walked past this tree, and I've been thinking myself before Satan ever came, oh, that's some beautiful fruit. It says The tree was pleasant to the eyes, right next to the other one. Both of them were. Because you know what? It's not much of a choice. If it was so ugly, I'd just rather just cut it down. It's not bothering me anyhow. The choice comes when it has a draw to it. And I say, the love of God has helped me to make the right choices. King David, I know he did write a lot of the Psalms. And a lot of those, he was talking about his love for God and God's love for him and his responses back to God. But you know, this title today says, choose you this day whom you're going to serve. It's not good enough for me to look back years ago, the day that I made the right choice that I would follow Jesus. It's going to be tomorrow. What choices do I make? David stepped out on his roof one day. When the enemy comes in like a flood, David didn't have reserves. What if David had been just reading the Word of God? He had just stored in his heart the Ten Commandments. You know, in just a few days, David had broken about five of those in choices that he was making every day. The very first one was, thou shalt not covet. Thou shalt not kill. You know, don't steal. It involves a man's wife. David, man after God's own heart. It tells me how valuable it is for me to see the love of God shown to me and let it help me in choices that I make every day. Whoever wrote Psalms 119, there's a place in there in the 59th and the 60th verse. I thought on my ways and I turned. You know, that's valuable for us every day. Because what does it say? Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but then the Lord comes along and checks it. You know, that's in love that he does that. To be able to tell me, your thinking is not my thinking, and I want you to adjust it. It's his love. This one says, I thought on my ways, and then I turned my feet. And then it says, I made haste, and I did not delay to keep your commandments. It's so valuable for us today. It would have been so valuable for David to just stop and have some reserves come up that the Spirit of the Lord could have helped him at that time. The topic that we have is choose you this day. Where did that come from? Joshua. At a time when all around are choices to be made. What does he say? Joshua 24 and 15, choose you this day whom you'll serve. If you want to serve these gods all around you, here it is in the 15th verse, Joshua 24. If it seem evil to you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you'll serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. Did he tell them, I would like for y'all to make a decision and then come let me know what the majority has decided and I'll join with you? It didn't matter if everybody decided to choose other gods. What did he say? As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. You know, David made right choices for many days in his life. You know, my testimony about the day I got saved is good. I made a right choice. But you know what? That's not good enough for today. What choice I made back then. I've got choices. Every one of us here today have got choices that we're going to make. Choices about attitudes that I'm willing to take. Choices about me feeding the love of God that has been shown to me. You know, we read in Revelations 2, there was a message that went to the church of Ephesus. They were doing a lot of right things. And I find in almost maybe all of the messages to the seven churches, Jesus told them the good things that they were doing. You know, it was his love to them to tell them about the things that needed adjustment. It's his love to me to show me. I'm thankful for the times that he tells me, you're doing this right, you're doing this right. But then for the times that he comes and says, but this right here needs adjustment. Ephesus needed some adjustment. What did he say? Nevertheless, with all these good things that you're doing, I have somewhat against you because you have left your first love. That first place where I started back there when I was first making choices for him, you know, I was willing back then to err on the side of safety. You know, after years pass, if we're not close, not real careful, we can see how close to the world we can walk and still hope to be saved and make heaven our home. The love of God causes me to keep a good distance between me and the world. You've left your first love. You know, God, we're living in a time where God's expressed his love to us. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. Romans 5 and 8 says, God commendeth his love to us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I think it's real important for me. Because you know what? God's love shown to us all has not diminished. But sometimes I need to rekindle the flame of love back to him. And that rekindling is going to be shown in the choices that I make every day. There's a song that I found just recently. It said, I love him too much to turn back. You know, I need to feed that love because there's a lot of folks that are turning back today. I don't want it to be me. This song says, when I first heard of Jesus, his love and his grace, my heart was overwhelmed to think a king would take my place. I cried, Lord, I'll go with you every step of the way. That's all I can do, my debt to repay. Remember the day of salvation? Lord, I tell you what, I give up everything for you. I want to walk with you. There's nothing I want more than you in my life. Well, then the next verse says, when I told him I loved him, it was easy to say, but it was harder to prove when temptations came my way. But what good are broken promises? I count them but loss. Whenever I caught a glimpse of true love hanging on a rugged cross. And then time passes. You know, time passed for Ephesus. They had something at first, but time passed by to where he had a correction for them. You've lost that first love that you had. It doesn't have to be. This song says, now the years have brought us closer, and my love for him has grown. Each step has brought me nearer to my eternal home. Now I'm just too close to heaven to turn back now. His grace will be sufficient. I'm going to make it somehow. Cora says, I love him too much to turn back now, too much to break my vow. I promise the Lord I'm going to make it somehow. I love him too much to turn back now. For me to increase my love for him, I need to back up and see the love that he has shown for me. I can see more of his love than Adam and Eve could. What they saw of his love was the beauties of nature around them. You know what? I need to still be stirred by the beauties of nature around me. A flower with the detail that's in it should tell me, just like it told Adam and Eve, I love you. But I've got something more than they have. Jesus Christ died on the cross to show his love for me. I love him too much to turn back now. You know, I can say today, oh, I'd never turn back. You know what? A lot of folks have said that in the past, and they're gone today. Can I make it in myself? Nope. But I'm finding it so important for me to stop and take a look at God's love that's been extended to me. And then say, Lord, help me. I want to increase my love back to you. Be thou faithful unto death. And we got a guarantee I will give you a crown of life. I'd like for us to sing number 460. And that the last verse of that song is kind of a different way of putting it. It says, let me love thee more and more. You think God said, no, I'm not going to let you do that. No, what I want him to do is bring things into my life to where I can see more, how I can increase my love back to you. Let me love thee more and more till this fleeting, fleeting life is o'er. I want to be able to have that in my life. I am thankful to be able to see the love that he showed to Adam and Eve. More than nature was the time that he was interested in coming down to spend time with them. We need to value that time. When the God of heaven is willing to speak to me. You know, we're living in a busy, busy time. And I say, Lord, help me. Let me love thee more and more. Remember the sun and the wind, north wind. It's not by force that he's going to make us love him. It's just the sunshine of his love shining on me every day. And me not being too busy in my life to be able to recognize it. I desire your prayers. Maybe we could sing number 460.